Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on the show today, we have one of our favorite recurring guests, Mr. Brian Claggett. Brian, how are you? You're a man of many hats these days.
I am. Well, I'm wearing only one hat right now. I gave up my other hat, which was the Geezio hat. You know, we sold the company on July 1 to Jack Henry, and you know, everything's going well with them. And early in July, I started talking with the guys at Strategy Corp, and Dave DeFazio, one of their partners, and I started talking. Next thing you know, here I am at Strategy Corp.
Congratulations. Yeah, we've had Dave on the show a couple of times, so good guy, and sounds like you ended up at a good company as well. So, and you're only going to make it that much better. So good job.
That's the plan. You know? And the value proposition is not unlike what we had at Geezio. You know, how do we, as a supplier, you know, some of you would call us a vendor. Mm-hmm. I personally hate that. You know, how can we help financial institutions stay relevant?
Yeah.
And we did that at Geezio side PFM, or what Jack Henry calls OFM. And with Strategy Corp, we're doing that with all that we're doing around building value around the checking relationship or the core deposit relationship.
Indeed.
Something I've been very passionate about since, believe it or not, the 1990s.
Really? Well, now you get a chance to talk about it 20 years later.
I do, yeah. Well, I've talked about it a lot. Now it's throughout my career, now I get to actually do something about it, kind of from the vendor side.
Right on.
A big part of our message is, you know, how do we maintain relevancy? And that's what banks and credit unions struggle with.
Yeah, and you pinged me on LinkedIn about deposit share, what's going on with online banks increasing their deposit share, kind of nipping at the heels of the traditional banking institution, credit unions included there. So what's the latest here? I mean, because obviously this is a trend that's not going away.
It's not, and it's something that that DeFazio and Ron Shevlin refer to as deposit displacement, and it's very real. I mean, if you were to look at your phone right now, chances are you got a Starbucks app on there,
yes,
or you got Venmo or Square Cash or any of these or all of these.
Yeah.
In my case, I have them all, not just because I'm a former fintech guy. I guess I'm still a fintech.
You're still a fintech guy,
but not. I've got kids that use these apps. I've got family members that need these apps, and they need me, the guy that's got the checking account, to send them money via these things. So, this displacement's occurring. And I'll give you just some examples. And I just got this out of a recent paper that Shevlin did for us. He actually published it today. And I'll give you an example. Health savings accounts, HSAs, which employers are pushing, some financial institutions are pushing. In 2012, you were looking at about $14 billion in aggregate relationships or deposits at HSAs. All right. Fast forward 7 years later, 2019, now we have $45 billion in funds sitting in these HSAs. Now, a vast majority of that is not sitting within a credit union's deposit ecosystem or relationship ecosystem. So that's where this displacement's occurring. That money is sitting elsewhere. And what that means to me as a marketer is that slowly but surely, these relationships are being nipped away. And as they get nipped away, we lose a little value over time, and our relevance begins to unravel. That unraveling to me is a big threat. Now I want you to think of P2P, right? So person-to-person payments. You know, consumers made more than $60 billion in Venmo payments in 2018-11, right? Now what's interesting is if you look at the research Ron put together, he's showing, I'm gonna read it right now, that there's $2.2 billion today in Venmo accounts unattached to a financial relationship. These are funds that are just sitting out there in Venmo's marketplace. A few years ago, one of the, I think it was a co-founder of Simple, had said they had so much money, or actually it might have been Square. They had so much money sitting in Square that they needed to find a service to do something with it.
Oh my gosh.
It was just money that was sitting there. It's kind of in transit, right? So it's in this in-between space. And banking is, in essence, being redefined as we do this. Now look at Starbucks, right? So Starbucks has a fantastic app, great user experience, how much money do you right now have on your account? Now, I don't have a lot right now. I have about $16. As soon as it hits $10, I automatically bring in another $50.
I do the same thing. I do 25. Yeah.
Yeah, which is every couple weeks, right? So that's money that's being displaced from a traditional retail banking ecosystem in our core deposits, you know, into this new third-party app. Uber, look what Uber's doing right now. So I get Uber rewards, I have Uber Cash. I've got $250 in Uber Cash right now. Might be diminishing a little bit. I'm looking at my app right now. I mean, it's amazing how fast, you know, we can move money from a traditional account into one of these apps right now.
Yeah.
And value proposition that these app providers are bringing to the table are compelling. They're related very specifically to products that we love and buy. Starbucks, Uber, which is, you know, the epitome of a frictionless experience in many ways.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're nipping away at our traditional ecosystem, and that is a threat. And banks and credit unions, particularly credit unions, need to find a way to stay relevant and retain those relationships.
Yeah, and my wife, who is as fintechy challenged as anybody out there, just opened a Venmo account. And so now, and she's part of a new kind of population that's like you say, they're using this, and there's going to be even more money out there. So there's so it's hitting everybody, whether you're a fintech person or somebody who's just kind of beginning. It hits everybody, and it's a super easy, and she's like blown away by how easy it is to use. So I'm just like, it's a slippery slope, as they say. So
it is a slippery slope. They're very easy to use. That is the key, obviously, and they're driving this behavioral change that's occurring.
Yeah, and that was my next question: was like, why is this happening? Is it the ease of use? Is it just again, like the Starbucks app? It's so simple to use, and you can order from your car and walk in and grab and go, that type of stuff. And so that's how I see it. Are there any other factors in there, Brian, that this trend is happening?
Well, I think technology is changing expectations. So, you know, we're moving toward this, you know, frictionless environment across multiple industries. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, banking as a whole, I think, is dragging. But from a retailer's point of view, you know, they're all pushing for this this virtual shopping experience. Look at Target. Look at, you know, Walmart. Look at, you know, obviously the Starbucks example. They all want to find a natural mobile extension of their brand. So they're bringing value into their mobile distribution models. And the consumers are now being conditioned to expect that from other brands as well, be it a Best Buy, be it a B of A, be it a Navy Federal Credit Union, a USAA, or a small credit union down the street. You know, they see mobile as their form, that mobile is the bank. Mobile is the credit union to them.
Right. And this is your financial institution.
It's a slow, gradual change that's occurring. I think it's accelerating somewhat. And, you know, the players that are really looking to leverage this are really reinventing themselves. They're looking at the products that they offer. In the banking world, they're looking at that core deposit relationship, that checking account. They're looking for new ways to enhance it. They're looking for new value to bring to it. It's not just a matter of a promotional gimmick. It's not just a matter of packaging the cosmetics of the relationship. It's a matter of finding new features, benefits, and value that consumers or members really want. Now, if we can do it in traditional retail, if Target can find new ways to do it, if Amazon can find new ways to do it, why can't the credit union industry find new ways to do it? And the answer is that we think they can.
Yeah, and how do they do that? I mean, what's is it just a matter of, because I mean, obviously the lending has been off the charts for the past few years, and then all of a sudden the deposit has been such a big issue the last couple of years. And so obviously this might be part of it, the fintechs might be part of it, but there's another side of the coin, right?
Right. And traditionally, what have we done? We've chased rate, right? We tried to offer the best competitive loan rates. We, back in the 80s when I started in banking, you know, loan rates were through the roof and deposit rates were high as well.
Yeah.
You know, right now, interest rates are pretty low. Let's face it, right? You can't survive off interest rates anymore.
Right.
So price is no longer, while it's still a competitive tool, it's probably not the best competitive tool to fully leverage, because when you use rate alone and pricing alone, you're really feeding that commodity mindset that we've talked before. You and I've spoken about that in the past. I think what consumers really want is they do want rewards, right? They want to find benefits that are meaningful to them, like physical, tangible rewards that recognize their relationship that can save them money. Rewards a credit union can offer that prove that they're truly an advocate of the members they serve or the households they serve. I like to use the term household because I think we forget in our industry that we're dealing with households. So some of those products are, the value-added products that I think that are very compelling right now could be, think of millennials, for example. Think of, you have kids, right?
Oh, yeah. Got lots of them.
Okay. How old are your kids?
We got 3 in college and 2 in third grade. All and right, one of them just called from college last night and said, hey, can you Venmo me $100?
Can you send me $100? Or can you send me $400 to replace the screen on my iPhone?
Yeah.
So cell phone screen coverage is a very valuable product right now that our research shows is highly in demand with not only millennials, but aging millennials and even boomers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Old guys like me have a bad habit of breaking their phones, okay? My wife breaks it more than I break mine, but that's, that's neither here nor there. The other thing is identity theft protection. We're all concerned about, the loss of identity. Now, it's not something that's happening every day, right, to you or me, right. But when it happens, it'd be nice to know that I've got some form of coverage there, right?
Precisely.
These are very relevant products that any financial institution or credit union can offer.
Mm-hmm.
Data protection is another one. We had a breach the other day we all heard about. What's happening with that? How do financial institutions protect members from that? But more importantly, if it inevitably occurs to one of their members, it may not be related to the financial institution at all.
Right.
It could be from a breach at Zappos or something.
Mm-hmm.
How can the credit union help that individual or that household not only, really restore their identity, right, but offer true protection going forward to prohibit or prevent other breaches from occurring?
Yeah.
All right, ransomware is another one that's running rampant. I read an article yesterday in the Washington Post about ransomware. There are hundreds of state municipalities being held hostage by ransomware right now. The city of Baltimore was brought to its knees in recent months because of ransomware. These threats are not going away, which means that we as an industry probably, if we really want to be different, need to figure out a way to help those member households. Another thing that's really interesting is, child identity theft protection. That's something that's very appealing to consumers. Family data storage is very appealing. You see it being done by Google, obviously Apple. Why can't a financial institution figure out a way to offer these products and services?
That's a good idea.
And by the way, everything, a naysayer might say to me, well, wait a minute, those aren't really financial services. That's not a checking account. That's not a savings account. That's not a personal loan. Wait a minute. Cell phone coverage is a very expensive ordeal that a consumer could go through.
Mm-hmm.
It is a financial event. Some people would even call it maybe a small milestone that's occurring.
Yeah.
In the community, in the credit union community, we talked about for years, how do we make ourselves relevant through certain events or milestones, be it getting married, getting divorced, having a child, etc. Well, you know what? There are all these things that are happening every dang day to many of us, not over and over again, obviously, but cell phone breakage is one of them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Identity theft is another one. These are financial events that have an impact on our financial well-being.
Yep.
So how can the credit union industry help their households, their member households, protect their best interest, and support their financial wellness through time, while nurturing a stronger relationship by offering very relevant products or services?
Yeah, enhancing their value, because it sounds like, what we talked about at the top of the show here was, it sounds like there are so many of these fintechs out there, again, nipping at our heels, that is the traditional financial institution being watered down, I guess, or for lack of a better term, because there's so many other services out there that like a Starbucks is offering or Apple, et cetera, et cetera. Is what's your opinion on it? Because that just kind of came to my brain as you were talking. It's like, is the traditional financial institution, credit union and bank, is it kind of being watered down now because of what's going on the peripheral?
Yeah, I don't know if it's really being watered down. I think what's happening is we as bankers or credit unioners, I have to always throw that in there, credit sure. unioners. I think that our own expectations are changing. I think we have a bad habit of thinking we're more important than we actually are sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's because we've probably failed to deliver on our promise of truly being the financial partner of life of our members.
Yeah.
So we do have a huge opportunity to change perception. But today the perception is very much that our services are there, that are like a utility, right? It's a necessary evil.
Yeah.
You know, nobody looks forward to doing their banking. No one looks forward to paying their bills and dealing with a financial crisis or planning for the future. It's a chore, right?
Yep.
So we're a utility in many ways. But we're a utility that impacts the financial wellness or wherewithal of millions, hundreds of millions, tens of millions or other households. Mm-hmm. And we're just not doing enough about it. Other industries are more appealing, obviously. Amazon, I could buy all the things I want through it.
Yeah.
Target, I can use the spending wheel to find the latest, greatest sales that are occurring right there. They've actually gamified it.
Yeah.
You know, what's sexy there is not the store itself, but it's the shopping experience they're providing.
Precisely. Right?
They're not a utility. People enjoy going to Target. People enjoy shopping on Amazon, right? So how do we get people to necessarily, I don't know if we get people to enjoy banking, but we sure can go back out to the customers or members we serve and say, we can give you a bigger bang for your buck. We can give you products or services that are related to your financial well-being that are not traditional to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we can take it beyond a checking account. We can take it beyond the typical membership relationship and offer products and services that are related to financial wellness that are unexpected. And that's where things like cell phone coverage and ID theft protection come into play. Even insurance products, you know, that many CUSOs offer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we bundle them and associate them closer to that household relationship to make it different? So, yeah, are we being nipped away at? I mean, I think we're being marginalized. It's not as if we're losing necessarily market share, but slowly but surely the value of our relationships with our members, I think, is being eroded.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get at.
And it's not just the fintechs. Starbucks is not a fintech, but maybe they really are, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do they have a payment strategy in place? Absolutely.
They do.
What about Uber? Uber's head of payments came from PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That tells us. So even some of these retailers and service providers that are out there, they're getting into the banking space. Kind of indirectly, but they're way. So there's an erosion that's occurring.
Yeah.
I don't think we're losing the overall relationship per se.
Mm-hmm.
We are losing value because our relevance being marginalized.
Yeah, I think erosion is the proper word there. And I also heard about Uber is like providing loans to their drivers so they can buy cars and then kind of pay it back and kind of keep that in a little their own little ecosystem, I guess. So for lack of a better term, there. So yep.
They are. I mean,
that's
in
banking.
That case, you know, it's what's driving it is I'm assuming it's the gig economy, right? So many of these people are, in essence, they're 1099 employees, and they need banking services.
Mm-hmm.
They could be, in many cases, viewed as that underbanked.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's great that Uber's providing that. I think it's a great strategy on their part.
Sure.
They're creating their own little banking ecosystem, whether they call it a bank or not.
No.
You know, could they partner with credit unions or other financial institutions to
Absolutely.
Offer other services? 100%. Yeah, 100%. Will they do that? I don't know. You know, I don't know if they have high expectations of our industry. They may actually go out and try to build this on their own.
True.
Very Hard
true.
To tell.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, I know you're on the speaking circuit. Do you speak on this? Do you go out to various conferences and stuff? Because I think this is a topic that really needs to kind of percolate to the surface a bit more more prominently, because it's kind of like the frog in the boiling water metaphor where, you know, you turn up incrementally and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, they've eaten our lunch type of thing. So I think this message needs to get out there a bit more.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and Strategy Corps has always had Dave DeFazio out there as our lead speaker. He's doing a lot on this whole app environment that's out there and how our expectations as consumers are evolving because we live in this world of apps, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm doing is I'm going to take that message to a kind of a different twist. I'm going to throw in there some of the old engagement banking theories I've had. And that is that financial institutions need to maintain a very relevant data-driven dialogue with the members they serve and the households they serve. And you know, the apps and the products and the services and the bundling and the value that we bring to the table helps fulfill that promise. It gives us something viable and relevant to talk about. I'm actually giving a presentation to the CEO of it's a Naval Weapons Stations credit union in Central Virginia is actually speak on October 14th. And I'm going to speak on that. And that is, you know, how is our role as an employee of a credit union evolve? What can we do individually as well as collectively to demonstrate advocacy? And how do we truly move toward this high-tech, high-touch environment we've been talking about for decades? And between all the advancement in mobile technologies that are now readily available to just about any financial institution, regardless of asset class, it gives us a chance rethinking our roles as employees. What can we personally do to drive this high-tech, high-touch environment that I think we now can, you know, fully realize and recognize?
Yeah, indeed. I'm going to wrap up with this, Brian, because I know you probably have a lot of stuff on your plate today, but what advice do you, obviously you're going out and speaking about this, but I want to get, what advice do you have for credit unions to do right now to get that ball rolling? Obviously, you know, the cliche thinking outside the box type of thing, like the things that you mentioned. What advice do you have for them to get going in that direction?
Well, the first thing I would say is, you know, it's very important today to be very well read. You have to stay up to date with everything that's occurring, not only in the banking industry, but in the retail space as a whole.
No doubt.
Go look at what apps your consumers or your members are using today. Understand the behaviors there. What's driving those online behaviors? And then take a look, step back, and ask yourself, what is your long-term strategy as a financial institution? You know, who do you want to be as an FI or credit union as you grow up? And then ask yourself, what tactics can I deploy today, leveraging both technology as well as revisiting my product suite? How can your product, be it checking or savings or lending, differentiate today in this digital app-driven world? And there are things that you can do today through partnerships with fintechs, through partnerships with vendors such as us, that can help you truly differentiate. But you have to be well-read. You know, it's not banking as usual. Things have definitely changed. That said, I'll end with this. I fully believe there's never been a more exciting time to be in this industry. We're finally doing the things that we've talked about for decades. All coming to fruition at this point.
Indeed. And 2020 should be a very interesting year for sure. So having said that, so really excited for that. Good stuff. Good stuff as always, Brian. Appreciate the time as always. Congrats on the sale with Geezeo and your new gig with Strategy Corps. And look forward to seeing you out at the various conferences as well.
I appreciate it, Mike. Best wishes to you and all the kids.
Indeed. Right back at you, sir. Right back at you.